ministries. We had a whole bunch of children sponsored, and we even raised some more money for our house that we're going to be building in Tijuana this summer. And we'll have a great opportunity to really bless a family there as well in this incalculable way. It's just incredible the impact that these kinds of opportunities have on families and individuals and communities in these areas. God's kingdom is exciting. And what he's doing is exciting. His mission is exciting. And the fact that we get to partner with him in that is just one of the greatest opportunities and gifts that we have from him. I mean, we worry about ourselves a lot. We do. Like, a lot. We focus on ourselves, our needs, our wants, our dreams, our fears so much. But God calls us to something so much bigger. And when we follow him there, he takes care of so much of that stuff that we were worried about before. It's kind of amazing how he does that. He's really amazing. And so I hope you were challenged and encouraged. I know I sure was. Sean had a powerful message for us and a good reminder for us. And as a family, we were able to sponsor one little girl named Asha from Kenya. My girls are so excited to be able to write letters to her and just pray for her. We've been praying for her every night now. And it's really special to be able to. It's awesome to see my kids dig into God's kingdom in that really practical and tangible way, that there's a person that's connected with what God has called them to do and be. And if you weren't here, you can always jump on Compassion's website. There's opportunities there to sponsor kids and see how you can be involved in what they're doing, if that's the direction that God's calling you. And there's ways that you can invest right here as well. It's important for us to be reminded of that and think about that. But this week we're going to be diving back into our new sermon series. We've just been into it just for a couple of weeks here. It's called We Believe, LFC. And what we're trying to be about as a church, the things that matter to us. And we're preaching through the Apostles' Creed together, which is so cool. I'm a nerd. I love this stuff. It's so neat to know. It's such a big deal. Creeds are a big deal. And the Apostles' Creed is as old and as solid as they come. There's different versions and different ones out there, but the Apostles' Creed is an oldie but a goodie. It says so much that matters. It says this, the Apostles' Creed, it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic, meaning universal, worldwide, unified church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Power. It's good. And Pastor Dennis has talked about how in our evangelical and Baptist traditions, we really haven't done a lot with the creeds. And that's true, and it's sad, because these things really tie us together with our brothers and sisters around the world and stretching back through the centuries with God's church, the earliest days of his church. We're with them. We stand with them, with men and women who have lived and died declaring things that really matter. Truths that are so huge, so terrifying, really. So hopeful, so massive that it completely changed everything we know about everything we are. About who God is, about what we are, what all this is even for. These creeds didn't come about by accident. They weren't written for no reason. They were carefully crafted by people trying their hardest and led by the Holy Spirit to protect the church of Jesus from lies and selfishness and people that wanted to manipulate and destroy the church of the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The church is a family. And these creeds help to bind us together as the things that we need to focus on. Because there's so many opinions and ideas and perspectives and agendas, differences in belief a little bit amongst churches and people. But these are the things that we need to agree on if we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus. These things show that we're trying to follow Jesus together. So it's big stuff. It's important stuff. And when we read this together, as we did at the end of the service last time, it's a powerful thing. When we can say these words together, it's a beautiful thing. It's a worshipful thing. It's amazing. So I hope you're challenged and encouraged, and that maybe you'll even try to memorize this creed. Maybe we can print up some copies that you can take home and put it on your fridge. Because again, there's different versions with slightly different wordings, but this is a very standard, very old, very widely accepted creed. And we started a few weeks ago with the phrase, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. One God, our Father, mighty and powerful, in control, and I need to keep going. Or else I'm just going to preach that this morning. What an amazing statement. It says so much. And then we moved on to creator of heaven and earth. Again, massive statement. We are declaring God's intelligence, his creativity, his power, his dominion, his beauty, all communicated in those five words. And now this week we come to the next statement. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. A sentence like this, we kind of get used to hearing. We get used to hearing these words in the church, and it's easy to forget just how significant an idea this is. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. This is a huge idea. This is a world-changing idea. It's powerful. It's exclusive. It leaves a lot of things off the table. It's personal. It's real. I believe in Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. As we well know, it means Messiah in Greek. So what we're saying is, I believe in Jesus, the Messiah. When Jesus walked by the place where John was baptizing people, John cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Messiah promised by God from creation. He is a real person. He walked by that lake where John was baptizing. He was a real human being who really lived and really walked around. He really talked with people. He ate with people. He lived with people. He hurt and he cried with people. He laughed and he celebrated with people, with us. He lived here. At the wedding at Cana, he partied and celebrated with a couple getting married. When Lazarus, his friend, died, he wept with his friends. When he saw how the merchants and the priests had turned God's temple into a marketplace to exploit the worship of God, he was furious. Jesus is real. Jesus is human. In fact, he's more human than all of us. He, in fact, is the example of what a human being was supposed to be. what we were created to be without sin. Being in perfect communion and relationship with God, living fully in the Spirit. I believe in Jesus Christ, the person, the Messiah. And I believe that he is God's only Son. John 3:16, that verse we know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus is it. There's no one else. There's no other Messiah. There's no other teacher. There's no other prophet. There's no one else coming. Jesus is it. Everything else follows him. Other people have prophesied. We have that in here. But it is by his Word. Other people have taught. We have that in here too. But it is his truth. Others have claimed the way to salvation or heaven or forgiveness or God. But it's only him. He said it himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We are called children of God. Jesus says that God is our Father too, but it is through him. He is God's firstborn, the true heir. We are adopted into his kingdom by his grace. His mercy, his sacrifice, no exceptions, no mistake. Jesus is it. I believe in Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, God's only Son, our Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That phrase is so important that there's a verse in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is a holy statement to declare that Jesus is Lord. It matters. It's big. It's heavy. It means a lot. Jesus is Lord. It's a powerful thing to declare, but that is what we believe. He is our Lord. He is King. He is in control of all, and he must have control of my life too. He is worthy of it. He deserves it. All authority is God's, and he commands us to submit to authority here on earth. Our governments and leaders, as far as we are able, that is part of following him, is following here. As much as we can. But now and forever, our King and our Lord is Jesus. Ultimately, truly, forever. We can get that mixed up. We can get really wrapped up in what is going on in our world, what our world is doing. And we need to be involved. I do think we need to be involved. We're called to be planted here, to be a part of our communities, to be a part of our world, to show who Jesus is, to share the light and truth of the gospel here, now, today. We live here, and as Pastor Dennis has referenced many times, that verse in Jeremiah where God calls his people, they've been displaced from their land, taken into this foreign place, and God tells them, settle in. You're not going anywhere for a long time. He says, build houses, plant gardens, settle down. And that's true for us as well. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We'll get to that part. That's in the creed as well. Isn't that cool? So exciting. We don't know when he's going to return. We don't know what that's going to look like. It's been 2,000 years. It might be 2,000 more. We don't know. And in the meantime, we are called to live here. But we can never, ever forget that our ultimate concern isn't here. God's kingdom is what we care about, not this world. That's what we're worried about. Following him, doing what he calls us to do here, because that's where we live. It's a huge idea. It's a wild idea. It sounds crazy, but we are citizens of heaven. That's what we believe. This world is not our home, and power here is nothing. We submit to Jesus. We follow the King of Kings. We follow the Lord of Lords. That is what I believe. And that's what followers of Jesus, Christians, have always affirmed together. And that's what's gotten them killed so many times. Because earthly powers feel really threatened by that. Throughout history, Christians have been persecuted and killed because they say Jesus is Lord. Even today in places like China and the Middle East, there are many places that declaring Jesus is Lord is illegal. Why? Why are people so threatened by that? But they are. But this is what we believe. We declare it to be true. He is our Lord. When the crowds of people abandoned Jesus, he had gathered a huge following after he'd multiplied the bread and the loaves and fed this huge crowd, and people were starting to think, this guy's pretty cool. Jesus started to teach some really, really hard things, and thousands of people walked away. And he turned to his disciples and he asked them if they were going to leave him too. And Peter said, my Lord, where would we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? When Jesus was resurrected, he revealed himself to his disciples. He surprised them, scared the heck out of them in that locked room where they were hiding. He shows up, but Thomas wasn't with them, and he struggled to believe it. 11 of his, well, 10, I guess Judas was dead at that point. 10. We're trying to convince him. We saw Jesus. He was here, and Thomas struggled to believe that. He needed to see it for himself. And we give him a really hard time about that. Doubting Thomas. Not a nice nickname. But later, Jesus reveals himself to Thomas. And Thomas declares one of the most powerful things in all of Scripture. He says, my Lord and my God. Jesus is Lord. All power and authority, all truth, all laws, all justice is his forever. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Why did this phrase need to be in the creed? They were careful. It's short. There's not a lot in there. Why would they include this phrase in this way? Because it is a radical idea. Again, we get used to this wording in the church. Jesus is Lord. He is God. He's the Son of God. We say this a lot. We sing it a lot. But it is a radical idea. It's a huge and critical declaration for us to make. The Jewish people in Jesus' days, they violently resisted this idea. That Jesus is the Christ. That he is God's Son. They had Jesus crucified. And they persecuted the church. Paul first and foremost among them until Jesus revealed himself to them. This phrase killed many, many people. Including Jesus himself. Because Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, the Christ. Gentiles around the world resisted this idea violently that there is one God and Jesus is it. The Romans crucified and killed Christians in their arenas because they would not say Caesar is God, but would only follow Jesus. Gnostics and others, spiritualist people in the early church, they tried to convince people that they were gods too, that Jesus was just like us and we're like him and we can become like him. And now, even now, people try to say that Jesus never even existed. It's stupid. There's no credible ancient scholar who actually says that. But people throw it out there. Well, what if Jesus never even existed? There's no proof he existed. There's lots of proof he existed. But they throw it out there. And in many parts of the world today, if you declare that Jesus is Lord and you follow him, your freedom and even your life is at risk. This statement is in the creeds because it is a radical truth that opposes so much about what we naturally believe about ourselves and our world. We are sinners in need of the Messiah. We are not God. We are not in control. Jesus is. Philippians chapter 2 paints this picture for us of who and what Jesus is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Jesus submitted to the Father, was a servant for us. Despite the fact he is Messiah, he is God, he is Lord, he became a servant for us and submitted to the cross for us. But make no mistake, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is coming. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of this matters. This creed matters because it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in the things that we worry about here. Work and future and comfort and family, and is our car going to start because it's minus 30 and we've been in it for an hour and a half. And some of these are good things. But this reminds us what we are really supposed to be about. Now and forever, we are followers of Jesus the Christ, the only Son of God, our Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you today, and I come before you today, and I say, I am sorry, and I beg your forgiveness for all of the times and really every day that I forget this. Or at least ignore it. And I put myself first. I try to be my own Messiah. I try to save myself or pretend I'm good enough and don't need saving. I act like I am God of my own life and I make decisions that I think are best and what I want and what I need and what I'm afraid of. I act like I am king of my own life and my own world. Forgive me, Father. Forgive us when we fall into those traps, and help us to remember that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is your true Son, and through him we have life. As we follow him, as we submit to him, we can receive all of the things that you promise. Freedom and forgiveness and life eternal. God, I thank you for these creeds that you directed your followers, your church, to put this together so that we can be with them, that we can worship with them, that we can be unified together as your body here around the world today and stretching back through history. You are God of all, always. And we stand with your people and declare that Jesus is Lord. We thank you, Father. And as we declare these things now, we just pray that you would receive it, God. Amen.